All right, here's a question by Urmila Devidasi. You mentioned the different conditions for chanting japa, holy place, by Tosi and so forth, that are very favorable for attentive japa, but I'm confused as to whether or not they are suggestions or actually rules, the violation of which constitutes an offense of inattention. If so, how can we chant the prescribed rounds without offense while doing extensive travel when our japa time ends up being on airplanes, airports, cars, etc.? All right. The real essence here in the answer is that according to certain time and place, we have different types of facilities given to us by the Lord for the execution of our devotional service. When devotees purposefully, in ignorance, neglect the facilities Krishna gives them for facilitating and perfecting their devotional practices, then they become remiss in the process and in the example of chanting japa. They become offensive to the holy name. Let me give some examples. For instance, when we're in a beautiful temple, temporum room, with the devotees nicely chanting there, Tulsi Devi in the middle during the japa period, and we have the opportunity to chant very nicely in such good association under ideal circumstances, and we leave those facilities and perhaps we retire to some dingy little room where we're all alone and there's no Tulsi Devi and no devotees, and it's not bright and it's dark, and we sit down and we immediately start to fall asleep. Little room where I go to in order to avoid devotees, in order to be able to do it my way, in order to honestly just sleep. Then I'm neglecting the facilities that Krishna has given, and the quality of my devotional practice obviously has diminished as a consequence of that. Therefore, I'm committing an offense. If due to great ecstasy, a devotee retires from chanting in the public and goes to his own room, then that example speaks for itself. But this other one is also self-evident. We're not taking advantage of the facilities Krishna has given, and that is an offense. Now, when we're traveling, say we're traveling for the purpose of preaching, and we're traveling on the airplane, there's no devotees, there's no beautiful temple room, there's no Tulsi Devi, it's just we're all by ourselves. Therefore, we need to make the best of the given circumstances. Certainly, temple room, Tulsi Devi, and devotees can be manifest within our heart by internal meditation. Therefore, the best thing to do is, and if we've already had ample practice by chanting in such circumstances, is closing our eyes, putting in earplugs, and chanting Hare Krishna, being absorbed in the chanting, doing the best that we can under the circumstances. Then there's no offense. On the other hand, if, well, there's, you know, I'm in these circumstances, what else can I do? And I'm sitting on the airplane and therefore I chant my rounds while watching the movie that's playing, looking out the window, doing everything else other than concentrating on the holy name, then yes, we're committing offense. So we're not taking advantage of facilities, abusing facilities that are given to us. Therefore, we're neglecting or inattentive to the holy name. Krishna tells the poor man, Patram pushpam palam tuvayam. You just offer me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, water. So it's in the singular. If you have nothing else, offer Krishna that. But if you're a millionaire and you're offering Krishna a leaf, a flower, fruit, water, then you all know, I'm sure you've already mentioned it yourself, it's not what you're giving Krishna that he's looking, but it's what you're holding back. So if you're holding back fortunes and you're offering a leaf, then you're committing an offense. Then that is aparad. For instance, in the My personal example is in terms of the worship of Radha Damodar. Generally, I do a not super elaborate puja, but a nice worship for them, dress them nicely in clothes, offer them foodstuffs, garland, bathe them, chandan and attar and other things like that, arti. And this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if he's come, I must take responsibility for him, and I should give him the best possible facility. On the other hand, sometimes, in fact, often I'm also traveling. Sometimes time's short. Sometimes there's no one to help, and there's none of these other things available. Therefore, I have to do a lot of the puja in my mind. I've never done manasa puja only. I always do puja physically, but sometimes I supplement my puja within my mind. But physically, what can I do? I take them out, I put them down in front of an Achman cup. I do the puja solely with one Achman cup, and I make a humble offering of some simple fruit. That's all available. And then that's fine, that's accessible. If I use that excuse, well, it's not convenient today, I'm in too much of a rush, when I'm not really, or what I'm rushing off for is, who knows, to get myself a new dhoti, and I cut short Radha Damodar's arti, then I cut short their worship, then I should recognize that I'm committing an offense to them, and it's not to be taken lightly. So Krishna is a person, he's not a machine, he's very understanding, as is the holy name, as is Bhakti Devi, and they just want us to do our best. If we're doing our best, according to time, place, circumstance, and personal effort, then fine. But if we're not, either through neglect or purposefully, meaning intentionally, then we're committing offense, and that we should not do. And that's why Srila Prabhupada gives this example of the Brahmin who's doing his worship within his mind. Is the benefit is that ultimately within our minds we can always be in Vrindavan. Within our minds we can always be in front of Tulsi Devi. Within our minds we can always be in a holy place doing parikrama. It just requires both practice, and it requires the self-discipline to do so. But then that's what following the rules of chanting the holy name is all about. Hare Krishna.